Right, it's good to be with you again here in Palmerston North. Thank you for the welcome. And I do give you greetings from the Emmanuel Church in Auckland. It's great to have this fellowship together. And we experienced some of this yesterday at the fellowship meeting there in Wellington. Now, Luke chapter 5, if you have your Bibles, you might turn to it. Verse 24, our Lord said, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has power or authority on earth to forgive sins." This morning I want to talk about the authority of Jesus Christ to forgive sins. And before we come to this, let's pray. Almighty God, our merciful and holy Creator, we thank you that there is someone who has heavenly authority to forgive us all our sins, to make us into new creatures. We thank you that that person is none other than your beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this fallen world, who entered the hearts of those who would trust in him, to be renewed by the Holy Spirit. And this morning, as we come to consider this reading, we do pray that you would send the Holy Spirit to give us a measure of understanding, to delight our inner beings with this narrative of the paralytic who was healed and forgiven his sins. We pray, O God, that we might delight in such stories, that they are true, that these things happened, and that the Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So speak to us this morning, we pray, whatever our situation may be in life, help this passage to be very real to us, that we might respond to the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Now, this is the well-known account of the paralytic who was forgiven his sins and he was healed. I don't think any of us here are paralyzed as such, but perhaps some of you have had a broken arm or a broken wrist and you've had it in plaster. To some extent, that is representative of a paralytic. Your arm cannot move for a season. Over 40 years ago, I met up with a man who was paralyzed from his neck down. It was a terrible sight. And he communicated with me by holding a straw in his mouth and pointing to letters of the alphabet. He pointed to each letter, spelling out words. I'll never forget that, a man who was paralyzed. Here you have an account of a man who was paralyzed. We believe it was quite a severe paralysis. And the occasion was his friends brought him to see Jesus. And you know the story well. They lowered him from the ceiling, and this man was put there in front of Jesus. We're going to talk about this narrative, particularly with the emphasis that Jesus Christ has authority to forgive sins. I want you to begin by noting that there was a huge crowd in this room or in this house, so much so that the friends who brought this paralytic could not enter through the door. It was totally blocked. So what they did, they went up to the roof, they removed a few tiles, and they managed to lower this man into the presence of Jesus. Take note that Jesus responds to the faith of these men. We're told this. He saw their faith. And these were true friends. When your friends bring you before Jesus, they are genuine. And so it's a tremendous thing to enter into this kind of intercession. Do you bring your friends into the presence of Jesus? So these people, these men, they were very good friends of the paralytic. They brought him to Jesus Christ. Notice also, Jesus responded to the faith of the paralytic. We're not told explicitly that he had faith, but the inference is very clear. He must have had faith Jesus forgave him his sins, you see. So this man was the believer in Jesus. One can imagine this man hearing about Jesus in this house and pleading with his friends to take him to Jesus. I want to be healed of my paralysis. You see, the reputation of Jesus had spread. People were flocking to him. And even the Pharisees and the scribes and the lawyers, they were opposed to Jesus, we know that. But they heard about this man who was working miracles, and they also came. So the place was completely packed out. This man had faith that somehow, if he encountered Jesus, he would be healed. And so Jesus responded to them. The next thing to note is this. Jesus forgave this man's sins. He has the authority to do so. But there was something quite remarkable here, wasn't there? This man came to Jesus, or he was brought to Jesus. His priority was to be healed. And his friends had this priority. They wanted this paralytic to be healed. This was their priority. But take note, Jesus did not address that priority. Sometimes our priorities in life are not the priorities of God. And here you see Jesus Christ, he knew this man was paralyzed. He knew that he wanted healing. But what did Jesus do? He didn't address the paralysis. He said, your sins are forgiven you. That's remarkable, isn't it? The priorities of Jesus, more often than not, are not the same as ours. We are locked into this world. Our priorities have to do with the struggles of life. And of course, Jesus knows all about these struggles. He's here to help us. But his priority is the soul. And he saw that this man, in his miserable state, needed to be forgiven. And so Jesus says, man, your sins are forgiven you. Isn't that tremendous? To know that Christ has the authority to forgive sins, to address that issue, which is most important. Also, notice on this issue of priorities, the priorities of the Pharisees and the scribes and the lawyers were not the priorities of Jesus. These men had an understanding that only God can forgive sins. They knew that. That was perfectly correct. Only God can forgive sins. And of course, we're talking here about the sins we commit before God. It is the forgiveness of God directed to us, not the forgiveness between people. We're dealing here with God's forgiveness of people, of individuals. And the Pharisees had it right. Only God can forgive sins. But their priority was in terms of their understanding of who God could be. They had a preconceived idea that God would come perhaps in a powerful way to liberate Israel from the Romans. This was their priority. Their priority was based on the externals of religion. But Christ's priority was the inner soul, the inner being. And so we see here then that Christ had the authority to forgive sins, and that was what he focused on. The next thing we take note of is this. Jesus Christ responded to the Pharisees. We're told here, verse 22, Jesus perceived their thoughts. Now here is something quite remarkable. Jesus read the minds of these people. And not just those people, he reads our minds. That's a fearful thing, isn't it? You know, we think we can hide our thoughts from everybody, but Jesus sees us through and through. He knows what we're thinking. And he knew what these Pharisees were thinking. He perceived their thoughts. And so he responded to them. And how did he respond? Well, here is the remarkable thing. When these Pharisees began to say, well, who is this person who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Then Jesus said, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? Now, what was Jesus getting at here? here is this paralytic. There were people filling that room. And Jesus was saying before this big crowd, well, what's easier to say? Your sins are forgiven you, or rise up and walk? Well, the answer was, it was easier to say your sins are forgiven you, for the simple reason that nobody could verify it. You couldn't prove or disprove it. In the context of that situation, the harder thing to say was rise up and walk. Why? Because that required immediate proof. So Jesus said, look, if I can do this before all your eyes, I can do the other thing. That's the gist of it, you see. And so he said, rise up and walk. And he said that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. This is tremendous, isn't it? In other words, Jesus was saying, I'm going to say the more difficult thing, and you can see for yourselves whether it comes true. And if it comes true, the other thing will also be true. I will demonstrate my authority here, and if you are satisfied and you can see my authority on the healing of this paralytic, you can trust me that his sins are also forgiven. Isn't that tremendous? So Jesus challenged these Pharisees. Take a look. This is the harder thing. And he said to this man, man, your sins are forgiven you. Immediately, the man rose up before them. Isn't this something to behold? The evidence was there. This man who was paralyzed in the presence of Jesus, and Jesus demonstrated publicly his authority over sickness, his power over the paralysis. And there was this immediate witness to the power, the authority of Jesus Christ. He demonstrated he has the authority to forgive sins. Now I find this a tremendous account in the life of Jesus. You know, what was really at stake here? And this is the burning question throughout the Bible, basically. The burning question is, who is Jesus Christ? Who is Jesus? If you read the Gospels, this is the issue. Here was this person, Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem. He grew up. He walked the streets of Jerusalem. And at the beginning of his ministry, he manifested this authority, this power, his persuasive preaching of the kingdom of God. Who is this person? And many people saw this person is remarkable, and they flocked to hear him. But others opposed him. The Pharisees, the scribes, the lawyers. So who is this person who brought about such a great division among people? You cannot be neutral on this issue. You are either with the Pharisees, the scribes, and the lawyers in rejecting this person, or you are with people like this paralytic who received Jesus. It's the same issue today in every religion. Who is Jesus Christ? Some people would say, well, he was just a good teacher. Others would say, well, he was a prophet. But only the Christian born of the Holy Spirit will say he is the God-man. And this is still the issue, my friends. Who is Jesus Christ to you this morning? Was he just a good person? He was a good person. He went around doing good. Or was he more than just a good person? He is your creator. He came into this world, and he gave his life on that cross for people like us. And oh, that we might come to understand this. So this paralytic then, he heard these wonderful words, your sins are forgiven you. And then he heard these words from Jesus, arise, take up your bed, and go home, go to your house. I imagine the scene there, this man lying on a stretcher or some form of bed. I think it was quite a severe case of paralysis. And suddenly he gets up and he folds up his bed and he walks home. And the people are just, they have to be amazed that this thing happened before their very eyes. We're told that, aren't we? We're told that they were all amazed and they glorified God. They acknowledged it was God. Isn't that tremendous? The people in that household, when they saw this, initially they came just to see Jesus, perhaps perform some miracles. But when they saw the paralytic packing up his belongings and walking home, they were amazed and they glorified God. They recognized that this man who had come into the home and who had made these comments, he is God. And that's the whole point of this narrative, you see. The main point is not the healing of the paralytic. That was just the medium through which God communicated to this people that the healer was God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here we have this tremendous thing about this man. He was forgiven. He was healed. Take note that the forgiveness of sins is now. Is now. Jesus said, your sins are forgiven you. And that means now. Not in the future. Not after you have died. It is now. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time for you to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And take note also that this healing was complete. It's remarkable, isn't it? It was complete. It wasn't a partial healing. This man didn't struggle out of his bed and stand up, but discovered his hands couldn't move, nothing like that. It was a complete healing of his paralysis. So the healing, the forgiveness of sins was immediate, and his healing was complete. Just like our sins. When our sins are forgiven, they are completely forgiven. Completely forgiven. Now that's something that nobody else can do. Only God can cleanse my conscience. Only God can cover all my sins, past, present, and future. It is a work of mercy, a work of divine grace. So the forgiveness then, it was immediate, it was complete. So we thank God for that. I hope we're all in a situation, from the youngest to the oldest, knowing that your sins are forgiven, completely forgiven. I was in Singapore a few years back, and in this certain housing area, there were these green bins about so high, these public rubbish bins. And there was a slot at the top where you put in all your rubbish. And what intrigued me was that there was this wording at the bottom. It said, please use me. Please use me. I said, wow, tremendous. You use this bin to throw in all your rubbish, and then the council takes it away. That's a picture of Jesus Christ, the great high priest. He's saying, please use me. Throw all your rubbish on me. Cast all your cares upon me. I will take them away and I'll never give them back to you. You know, that rubbish that was taken away, it isn't recycled and thrown back at you. Jesus Christ doesn't work like that. He takes all your rubbish. It's something which only the Christian understands and appreciates, a clear conscience. All my sins are forgiven. And so that this man, the paralytic, his sins are forgiven and he is completely healed. And this really is the whole point, you see, that Jesus Christ, he was able to forgive this man, and this was before he died, before Calvary. There was free grace available before Jesus died. That's something we should remember. The grace of God was available even before Jesus died. But when he died on that cross, we had the more full picture of what God was doing. And so this man's sins were forgiven because Jesus Christ died for him. We are forgiven because Jesus Christ has shed his blood in order that our sins can be forgiven and that we be reconciled to God. And this is the message that we long to see proclaimed in our country here with power. This is what we long to see fellow New Zealanders coming to embrace the Christian gospel. And I'm sure it's your desire here and your prayer that God would visit this church, our churches afresh, that God would have mercy on this country. It's something which concerns me and many people, that God has been so good to New Zealand. Think of this coronavirus. We have been, relatively speaking, spared from this terrible virus. We have. But are the people acknowledging this? They continue in their ungodly, blasphemous ways. That is a very dangerous position to be in. Because what's next? It can only be either the judgment of God, or praise be to his name, the mercy, the compassion, and the reviving of the Christian churches. Well, praise God that here we've just considered briefly this account that Jesus Christ is God, and he manifested this in this particular narrative when he forgave this paralytic his sins and healed him. And Jesus is the same today. He's able to heal you of your paralysis. I say this because we are all spiritually paralytics. You're aware of that, aren't you? What is it about a paralytic? He can't move. He cannot help himself. We are spiritually paralyzed. We cannot move. We cannot prepare ourselves to go before our God. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We're trapped in our sins. We are paralyzed. We cannot move. And only Jesus Christ can break that paralysis and liberate you. And so we thank God that although we by nature are spiritually paralyzed, Jesus can heal us if we come to him by faith. May God bless this word to our hearts. We'll just pray at this point, shall we? Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we just bow before you and we thank you for recording this narrative for us, and we do pray that we might understand its significance, that Jesus, you came into this world, you are the eternal Son of God, God manifested in the flesh, and you manifested these things in the healing of this paralytic and in the forgiveness of his sins. Father, we pray that every one of us here will have been delivered from our spiritual paralysis, that we shall know the forgiveness of Christ and his healing power. We pray this in his wonderful name. Amen.